The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9. Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you. And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts at 41 Cross Street, right above the fabulous, wonderful, tasty Alto Forno restaurant. No, I'm not in that restaurant. I'm above the restaurant, so I get to smell the aroma of Alto Forno all afternoon long. Fortunately, they're not open for lunch, so I don't have to go down there and smell the fragrance there. But they do open around 4 o'clock each and every day, and the food is fabulous. The atmosphere is wonderful. The bar scene, terrific. Swing in there if you have a chance. Say hello to Kristen. Say hello to Alyssa. Say hello to the entire gang down at Alto Forno. But our office is up on the second floor. So if you happen to be in the neighborhood, if you're there before 5 o'clock, swing in. Come on, take the elevator up, take the stairs up. Come and visit us. Say hello. Say, hey, I listened to the radio show. We are at 41 Cross Street in Peabody. We are Friedman Financial, and my name is Mark Friedman. I host this show each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. We've been doing it for a little more than 5 years, providing you with financial advice in a language you can understand. I hope you're doing well. We are into the month of May, month number 5 of the year 2018. Red Sox seem to be still stringing along a nice little run that they're on right now. The Bruins are in it. The Celtics are in it. Patriots, sounds like Brady's coming back. Gronk's coming back, and they're tightening up their line. It looks like we've got a pretty good run of sports for the next couple of years, actually, as far as I can see. I mean, who doesn't think the Celtics aren't going to be even better than what they already are starting next year? Think about, I mean, what they did without Jaylen Brown at game one of that Philly game. You knew Hayward was out. You knew Kyrie Irving was out. But, you know, who would have thought that they could have still won and take complete control of game one against Philly with Jaylen Brown just sitting on the bench and couldn't make it in? So we've got great things to look forward to. This team is going to be fabulous. Bruins are doing well. Red Sox, what a great start they've had right now. Pitching seems to be doing just what it's supposed to be doing. 6 grand slams for the Red Sox so far this year in the month of April. 6 grand slams in the month of April. Last year, you know how many grand slams the Red Sox hit all year long? 0. 0. And they've hit 6 grand slams so far in the month of April. So we got a lot of things to look forward to. But, you know, in order to go and attend all these things and do all that right stuff, you know what you need? Money. That's right. You need some money, and you want to make sure that you're getting a part of these experiences. You know, even if it doesn't mean going to the game. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I watch the Patriots games, I am very, very happy sitting in the comfort of my home, watching on my big screen TV in high definition, being able to pause the game if I need to go to the bathroom, being able to eat what I want, hang out with the people I want, and not feel like someone's going to throw a beer on me or freeze my butt off sitting out in the stadium. You know, but all of those things cost money, and, you know, we'll spend a fortune to buy a ticket to go to, I was going to say Frazier Stadium, but it's not Frazier Stadium. Jeez, that was a long, long time ago. To go to the Razor, or I guess that's what we like to call it now, or Gillette Stadium, or go to Fenway, or go to the Garden. You can think about what you could buy for a in-house sound audio visual system to enjoy sports to its fullest. You would pay probably a fraction of what you'd pay for all of the games you buy tickets for by just having your own little special sports center right in the house. You know, I'm all about having a good time and making the most of your financial experiences, but I'm also about making sure that you do it in the way that you want to do it too. You know, I see so many people that will run out and pay a premium price just to be somewhere. You're not going to pay a premium price just to be at a Celtics playoff game or just to be at the Red Sox-Yankees matchup. I don't think in my entire life I have ever paid more than the face value of a ticket. Yeah, you know, you buy it through Ticketmaster, they might charge you the $10 or whatever it is the service charge. But I've never bought a ticket from a scalper on the street. I've never bought through some of these ticket agencies at 30, 40, and 50% up charges. You have to ask yourself, is that the smartest use of my money? Now, if you're an avid fan, I understand, look, you can buy all sorts of tickets to go to the Super Bowl. People pay ridiculous amounts of prices because it's an experience. You know, when you go to the Super Bowl, if you've never been to a Super Bowl before, I have. I've been to two of them. When you go to the Super Bowl, it's an experience. It's not just the game. It's the whole, it's being part of that entire experience. You know, and some will say when you go to a Celtics game, a Bruins game, a Red Sox game, whatever it is, it's part of being that experience. But that's just for the game. You want to make sure that the money that you spend really makes you happy. And you know what? You know what really stinks? Is when you spend all that money and the team loses. Oh, and the team plays horribly. And then you beat yourself up. Then you're miserable on that ride home. I'll tell you, the other thing that I've done lately, you want financial advice in a language you can understand? The new thing that I've been doing, I live in North Andover. So I used to drive in, I'm a season ticket holder for the Celtics. And I pay face value for the tickets. But when I go into drive in, I used to park underneath the garden. And that price has just gotten out ridiculously expensive. And the problem is, even for paying that premium price, if the Celtics play well and the game goes to the last minute or two, you're kind of locked in that garage for probably at least another hour before you get out. So I've started to take the T in. And the T's been a great way to go in. We used to stop at Sullivan Square and take the orange line right into the garden. Well, someone introduced me to Assembly Square. Have you been to the new Assembly Square lately in Somerville? The past few weeks, I have been parking at Assembly Square. First of all, it's just wild, the amount of restaurants and shops and everything else that's going on down there. But it's a brand new garage. You don't have to drive around searching for a space because all you have to do is look up and you look for the green lights, and green lights indicate that there's an empty space available in the garage. And so you drive to Assembly Square, and you know what it costs to park there? $3. $3. You walk out of the garage. You walk out of the garage. The station is right there. It takes you right into Boston Garden. It's the station after Sullivan Square as you're coming out of Boston. Folks, it is just a great way to do it. The station is clean. The parking lot is wide open. I mean, you got plenty of room there. It's just a great place to go. So, little financial advice in a language you can understand as we kick off today's episode of Dollars and Cents. Well, here we are. We've closed out the month of April. 4 months are in the books. 4 months are in the books, and we have to take a look back and say, well, how's this market doing? What's going on right now? You know, a lot of people say, man, the market's been awfully volatile. Things are shaky. Things are tough. Well, here is the truth, folks. You ready for the number? After 4 months, if you had invested 100% of your money in the S&P 500 on a year-to-date basis, guess how much you're down? Negative 0.38%. But many people would think, oh my God, have you seen what's going on in the news? Have you seen all this stuff that's going on? It's crazy. I must be down 5 or 10%. Hold on. Let me check that number again just to be sure I was right. It said after 4 months of this year, year to date, as of April 30th, 2018, the S&P 500 is down negative 0.38%. That's basically flat. Can we call it that? And gosh, I mean, the conversations that you have around the coffee table, those you listen in, you go into a Starbucks or a Dunkin' Donuts or one of your local coffee shop, George's Coffee Shop. Shout out to them up in Gloucester, though I've never been to your restaurant. I am looking forward to going there. Up at George's Coffee Shop, I'm sure they're having all sorts of political conversations and all sorts of dialogue around what's going on in the market. And you know what happens? It's just an opinion. It's all it is, and it gets exacerbated because the reality is the market is flat. And what's this? Someone is suggesting that Donald Trump should win the Nobel Peace Prize? You know, I think many people in Massachusetts are prepared to just throw up over that idea, but the reality is it could happen, and for good reason, which is kind of strange when you think about all the other feelings and stuff we have about this president. Look, he's not one of my favorite guys in the world, but whoever thought some of these things would happen? It's different. It's not politics anymore. I mean, it's not politics. It's running like a business, and it's different. it's different, and I think it's tough for us to kind of swallow that kind of operation. But, you know, a couple things are getting done. Now other things are getting destructed. Some of the things are getting demolished. And it's really interesting. I'll just say, you know, you watch social media, you watch all these reports that come on the news, and everybody's got an opinion. No more than ever before have I enjoyed watching the difference in watching MSNBC, CNN, and Fox News. You take those three shows, and you just turn on the TV at 6 o'clock, 7, whenever they're running their news programs, and take a look to see what are the five lead stories of the day. What the networks, those three networks, believe are the most important messages to get out to listeners today. And all of those networks will have five different messages that they believe are important. And sometimes it's a message about the same story, but it's taken through a different lens. And so you wonder why we have become so biased, why we've become so believing in certain things is because we focus on one station and not take a look at all of the others. And so what I try to do is we sit here in the studios here at North Shore 104.9 overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station, of which doesn't seem like anybody's up yet. Empty parking lot right now. We try to bring some perspective into everything that's going on. And so what I try to do is your financial planner on the radio and your financial planner in life, if you'd like to work with us, is to really make sure that we're listening to all sides, that we're considering all perspectives and trying to then weave all of those interpretations into a strategy that makes the best sense for you. Because like I said, many people today believe, oh my God, this market is in tough shape. Folks, let me remind you again that through April 30th, January 1st to April 30th, if all of your money had been in the S&P 500, the stock market, you are down. Get ready for this. You ready? Drum roll. You are down negative 0.38%. However, what's kind of interesting also, if you are down, if you said, you know what, well, I'm not touching this stock market. Instead, I'd rather be in bonds because they're safer. Do you know what the bond average index is? What's called the Barclays Aggregate Bond Index? Year to date, here's how you're doing, because you didn't want to be involved in the stock market, because you didn't want to be involved in what Trump's doing or what anybody else is doing. Here's how you're doing being in the bond market. You are, as of year to date, down negative 2.19%. You're down negative 2.19%. And in the stock market, you're basically flat. So something that we talked about in the last show, which I found fascinating, I was at this meeting run by JP Morgan a few weeks ago, is on average, the daily movement in the stock market is up or down 0.8%. That's been the daily movement lately, up and down 0.8%. But here we are today, if you go all the ups, all the downs, 0.8, up 0.8, down 0.8, up 0.8, down 0.8, and you look at the average over the past 4 months, April 30th. Let me remind you one more time before we take this quick break so I've drilled it into your head. Here, the S&P 500 is screaming at down 0.38%. Folks, that's change. That's pocket change. That's nothing. It basically means you're flat. You haven't made money, lost money. Now, if you've invested in both stocks and bonds, you're doing a little bit different. We're going to talk about what that all means when we get back, because we want to be sure that you're clear on the fact that you're investing, the way you're investing is the proper way for you to invest. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. Each week, I try to provide listeners with financial advice in a language you can understand. And much of my advice comes from real-life situations that happens in my office, Friedman Financial, each and every day. You see, at Friedman Financial, we help individuals and families create smart strategies for spending money in retirement. Our approach is committed to placing your interests first. And best of all, Friedman Financial is independent. And we're a fee-based financial planning and investment management firm. We're absolutely committed to helping you get your financial house in order. When you're ready to get serious about your financial planning needs, give us a call. at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or on the web at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. My name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. It is the start of May. Hope you're all doing well. My birthday is Monday, by the way, if you want to send me a card, May 7th. It's the funniest thing. The reason I say this is kind of tongue-in-cheek. So my daughter Mindy calls me up this past week. Mindy is graduating Babson College, and she's going to go work for Eaton Vance as in their sales program. She's going to start there, I think, June 15th. She got an apartment in Boston. So she's all thrilled, moving out, all this good stuff. Well, you know, Mindy's a senior in college. So every week, it's, this is my last day doing this. This is my last dance show. This is my last class. This is my last. Aren't we going to celebrate? We have to celebrate. We have to talk about it. I'm like, really? I know this is important to you, Mindy. And so Mindy calls me up this past week and she says to me, Daddy, your birthday's on Monday. What are you doing for your birthday? And I said to her, my birthday's on Monday? I didn't even know. I don't even know what day it is. You know, when you get to be a certain age, you begin to realize it's not that big of a deal. It's just another day. She says, but Daddy, it's your birthday. You got to do something special. What are we going to do? Are we going out somewhere? Are we going out for dinner somewhere? I said, Mindy, how often do you and I and Mom and the kids, how often do we go out for dinner without it being a celebration? A lot. So what's the difference of us going out for dinner for my birthday than going out for dinner any other day? But it's your birthday. What do you want for your birthday? I'm going to be 52 on Monday. I haven't given any thought or even have a strong desire to tell somebody what I want for my birthday. But my daughter seems to think that every moment in time is a celebration. And we go on with life. Sure, it's nice to celebrate achievements. But Mindy, I said, you know, I'm not going to celebrate that was the last time you took a dance class. Or that was the last time he did this, or the last time he did that. Look, we're actually moving out of our home 2 weeks from now. We're moving into a new house. And I'm not thinking to myself every time I walk out of the house, which I've been in for 20 years, that, oh my God, this could be the last day I walk down these stairs. Or the last day I will take a shower in this bathroom. Or this may be the last bar of soap that I open up in the kitchen before we move. Do you have kids like that? Do they need to be rewarded for every smallest celebration? I share this story. I don't know what it has anything to do with this radio show, but it's just been driving me a little crazy. I think I do find it fascinating that I think our kids believe they need to be rewarded and acknowledged for every tiny little thing that they do. And I think we need to kind of calm it down a little bit. Calm it down a little. So, here's another story. So the helicopter parenting thing is something that I've been talking about forever on this radio show. So a week ago last week, I went with Jerry, my son, to University of Miami, where he was accepted into the University of Miami Business School. And he'll be starting there in the fall. And so we're down there for an accepted students meeting at the business school, and there's eight of us in the class, eight of us in this little meeting with someone that represents the business school. And so there's like five kids and then some parents that are there as well. And they're telling us about life on campus and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, yeah. Jerry's listening. But you know, if you've ever been to some of these first grade or second grade orientation meetings for schools, you cringe when people ask those questions. And if you're not the one that cringes, you're the one that asks the questions. So this woman is hearing that, well, in the business school, we get all the kids prepared. We get all the kids prepared for the real world. Great. That's what I would want. Our career center is fabulous. We're going to do mock interviews. The kids are going to build a resume. They're going to continue to update their resume. They're going to learn how to present themselves and talk appropriately. All good stuff. Not that I'm worried about Jerry. Jerry knows how to do that pretty well. And so this woman, mother, raises her hand. She says, does that mean my son needs to bring a suit for college? Well, it would be advisable. She says, but I thought this was a casual campus. Well, it is casual during the day, but if you're going to go and apply for jobs, your kid should learn how to dress a suit. Does that mean he needs dress shoes too? And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, what? I can't believe these people are asking. And meanwhile, the kid is just sitting there staring into space, probably doesn't even realize mom is even asking these questions. And mom was just, I'm just floored. And so she says, finally, she says, well, this is all great, but what if when Johnny, and I don't know what the guy's name is, what if Johnny has an interview and he needs to get a haircut? Are there barbers on campus where he could go to get a haircut? And I turned to my son, Jerry, and I said, did she just ask that question? And apparently I said it too loud. And it was the only reaction I got from the son. The son thought it was hilarious that someone finally just made her mother feel his mother feel uncomfortable because she was embarrassing the heck out of him. Mom, Dad, let your kids make mistakes. Let them learn from what they have to do and stop being such a darn pest with your kids being 18 years old already. Let them fail. Let them learn. Let them make mistakes. You made lots of mistakes. I made lots of mistakes. And you know what? At 52 years old, I still, believe it or not, make mistakes. But one of the mistakes that I didn't make was 5 years ago signing up here at North Shore 104.9 to deliver financial advice in a language you can understand. Because I will tell you this, I know that it's impacting this community. I know it impacts the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the Southern New Hampshire area, because I run into people all the time that say they love the show. They love to hear people talking about stuff like it is. But they also know that there's a voice and a place that they can turn to when it's time to get serious about their overall financial planning life. You see, many of you in your 50s or in your 60s or even 40s are thinking to yourself, oh my goodness, I know I've put some money aside. Have I put away enough? I know I've got expenses coming up. Will I still have enough once I pay all of those expenses? I don't know whether I'm going to continue to stay in this job, whether I want to stay in this job, or whether I'm going to be laid off from the job, or perhaps even take an early retirement offer. I don't know what to do when it comes time to take Social Security. Will Social Security even be there for me? Yeah, it will, by the way. What do I do with Medicare? How do I take money from my IRAs? Am I having the right withholdings done from my pay stub? And why did I owe so much in taxes when I got my tax return this year? Or maybe why did I get a big refund? Do you know the answers to these questions? Are they all answered in isolation? Do you ask them in isolation? Or is somebody there to guide you to help understand how it all packages up together? What happens when the kids go off to college? Can you take a child tax credit? How do you take a scholarship? We just awarded a scholarship this past week, I should mention that, to Kylie Barry of, I believe Kylie's from Beverly. Congratulations to Kylie Barry, who is our 19th annual scholarship recipient. Kylie gets $1,000, and here's how we do it. We call up Kylie and we said to her, look, I'm not sure what your financial aid situation is because this is not a needs-based scholarship. I don't know what the rules are regarding the school that you're going to go to, and she's going to University of Wisconsin. We will write that $1,000 check either to you directly, I'll write it to your school, I'll write it to for books, whatever you want it for. I don't want the scholarship that you are going to receive to impact any of the financial aid dollars that you may be entitled to. That is an important question to offer up to a student, because as you begin to get these scholarships, these grants, these anything that's offered to you, you want to be sure that the check is written in such a way that it doesn't impact some of the other eligibility that you have for other grants or other programs or other benefits that are being offered through the college. So I know I just jumped way off the subject there, but I mean, I'm trying to keep it all together. This is the whole point of what I'm trying to explain to you, though, is this is what we do at Friedman Financial every single day. One day it could be a scholarship, education, financial aid. The other time it could be a required minimum distribution from your IRA. It could be dealing with death. It could be how do we transition money from mom to dad now that dad has passed away? How do we transition money to the kids? How do we deal with all of these different issues? We have the experience, 50 years in this business. Since 1968, April 10th of 1968, we've been doing it. And I got to believe that we've been through a pretty well time-tested process. 50 years. Think about how your life has changed over the past 50 years. It's pretty dramatic. It's pretty different. And when you think back 20 years ago, how much money you were making, you thought, how much money will I make in 20 years? How much money will I have in 20 years? And now ask yourself today, how much money will I be making 20 years from now? How much money will I have 20 years from now? Your lifestyle is going to be different 20 years from now than it is today, than it was 20 years ago. And you need somebody to Sherpa you through that journey. Somebody to be the navigator that allows you to maximize everything that you can do in your financial life with confidence, with certainty, but also with the ability to be flexible when necessary. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, I'd love to meet with you. Really, give our office a call. We schedule a free initial consultation. But if you want to just talk to me over the phone beforehand, you want to drop me a text, you want to drop me an email, here's some collections of information of how you can do this. First of all, go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. You've heard that 1,000 times on this radio show. If you go to the website, go down to the bottom of the page, there's a section on every page that says, how do I sign up for a newsletter or sign up for Mark's newsletter? Put in your email address, put in your name, tell us how you heard us on the radio, or tell us how you heard about us. Maybe it wasn't through the radio, but I guess if you're listening to this piece of advice, it is through the radio. And ask your questions. Put some stuff in the comments section. But if you really want to schedule a free initial consultation in the office, and our schedule is opening up for the end of May into June right now for new appointments, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. So let me walk you through. Everyone always asks me, Mark, so what's the process? What happens when I call to schedule an initial consultation? Let me walk you through what happens. So you call the office, you schedule an initial consultation. Jody will talk to you for a little. Jody's my assistant. She will talk to you, make sure that the time, the date works out. She'll want to make sure that we're clear on what it is that you want to accomplish, and to make sure that initially we're both a good fit for one another. Some basic questions that she'll ask. And then she will schedule the appointment and send you what we call our kit. In our kit, you will have some information about who we are, so you can understand who we are, what we do. You're going to get some information that's called an ADV, which is a form that we file with the Securities and Exchange Commission that lets you know how we're licensed, if there's any complaints or filings that have been placed against us. There are not. Information about the people that work in our office, how we get paid, the services that we offer, all of that kind of stuff. In addition to that, you'll find a fact finder, which we ask you to try to fill out as best you possibly can, which asks you for information about, you know, basically where is everything and what it's all worth. And I will tell you that probably is the toughest part of the entire relationship that we'll have, because it means you have to do a little bit of work. And some people will choose to say, you know what, Mark, I don't want to fill it out. I'm just going to grab all the stuff. But how do you know which stuff to grab? Well, that's easy, because we also provide a sheet in there that says how to prepare for your initial consultation. And it says, here's the stuff you should think about bringing to the office. It could be your pay stub. It could be your tax return. It could be investment statements, insurance statements, retirement plan statements, benefits booklets, insurance policies you have, a will, trust, anything that you might have that you think impacts your financial life. You bring it all to the office. We'll sit down and we'll talk about it. So what happens when you walk in the door? You get to the office. You're ready for that initial consultation. You want to know what happens after we open up that conference room door and you come on inside and chat with us? Well, I'll tell you about that when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I don't know.
What if you could blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning? That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and expertise to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2018 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Money. Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. In the last segment, I left you hanging. And then I realized after the first segment, I left you hanging and I never finished what I was talking about in the first segment, which is not uncommon for me. Not uncommon at all for these types of radio shows. I get so excited about what I want to talk about. And I really want to try to provide you this financial advice in a language you can understand. So I'm going to try to wrap up both of these pieces. I'm going to try to put a little bow on what we talked about on both of these issues in this next segment. But during the last segment, segment number two, I was talking about the process that you would go through if you were to schedule a free initial consultation in our office. I started talking about the fact that we send out a kit to you. We ask you to prepare the kit. You can do the best you can. You can fill out our fact finder, or you can simply gather information. And we have a piece of paper in our kit that says how to prepare for your initial consultation. And it says that if you don't feel like filling out the fact finder, please at least bring some of this information with you. Your pay stubs, bank statements, investment accounts, tax returns, insurance statements, retirement plans, benefits booklets, whatever you can grab that has to do with major expenses or major financial decisions you have in your life. It may be your mortgage statement. It may be a credit card bill that you have. It may be student loans. It may be an automobile loan. All of that stuff, just bring it. And we go through all of it. Now, I always find it fascinating that many financial advisors who hold themselves out as financial planners will say, well, we do financial planning, but in reality, all they talk to you about is your investment account. What investment account can I pick up? That's not how we do it at Friedman Financial. It's not how we've done it for 50 years, and it's been time-tested, and it has worked. We've seen generations and generations of family run through our office successfully, achieving retirement, transitioning assets to the next generation, finding a way to be able to complete and pay for their child's education while still fulfilling the retirement that they want. Now, it's not that we have some magic pill. It's not that I can provide better investment strategies than somebody else. Honestly, I'd be lying to you if I told you that I could. But what I will tell you this is we're going to take a look at your overall situation from the perspective of where is everything and what is everything worth and how are we going to use everything in your life to help you achieve your financial goal, not how do we take this $100,000 and turn it into $500,000. That is something that I cannot promise you. That is something that I will not put you at risk for, and that is not something that I would want to stamp my business, my name, my reputation on, because it's not something that I can do. If you want to go from $100,000 to $500,000 quickly, here is how you do it. I'll be very quick. You can either go to Foxwoods and put it all on red a couple times, because you'd have to be right twice. If you put the $100,000 on red and you were right, well, that $100,000 would go to $200,000. Then you'd have to do it again. $200,000 would have to go to $400,000. And then maybe you say, okay, well, I'll take away $300,000 of my $400,000. I'm just going to leave another $100,000. And maybe I'll switch it up and put it on black. And then you hit black, and then it goes to $500,000 because you picked up that extra $100,000 on the other $100,000, and now you have $500,000. Look how easy that was. I just showed you how to make $100,000 and turn it into $500,000 in less than 60 seconds. Folks, that'll never happen unless you're really lucky. The way it all happens is when you come into our office for an initial consultation, we sit down and we talk about you, not about what I can do better than somebody else, but what is it that you need? And that's going to be my first questions to you as you sit around the table with me. We're going to say, tell me why you're here. And you're going to think from that standpoint, they go, you're going to go, wait a second. He's not selling me anything. I'm not telling you a pitch. I'm not asking you how much money do you have. I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to say, tell me why you're here. And that conversation can go in a multitude of different directions. Ultimately, I will guide that conversation so that we're clear in getting our objectives taken care of during the meeting, which are, number one, understanding what your overall goals are, some of the things that you probably never even thought about. You might say, I want to retire. Big deal. So does everybody. That's like saying, we offer good service. Can you ever imagine walking into a store that says we offer crappy service? No. I can say crappy on the radio, right? Right. Yeah, good. I was just checking with the FCC here as we're sitting here in the studio. But understand that it's more than that. When you're doing financial planning, you got to make sure that somebody knows where everything is and what everything is worth and what your goals are. And the goal of saying I want to retire is not a goal. Tell me what retirement looks like. So imagine if someone you asked that question instead of, what do you want to do? And they say, I want to retire. Say, tell me what retirement looks like. Because I think if you were to ask five of your friends, go out for dinner with a bunch of friends and ask them to describe, what does retirement look like for you? And don't say anything. Let them just answer. I bet their description of what retirement looks like will be different from other people sitting around that table. Because for some, retirement means I'm stopping working completely. I will never work again. I will collect my Social Security. I'll live off the interest and dividends from my investments and die. Others will say retirement to me means an opportunity to travel, an opportunity to spend more time with the kids, an opportunity for me to stop working at the job that I'm doing right now, but a willingness and a desire to stay busy for at least 10 or 15 more years, because retiring at 65 is not old anymore. I want to work. I could see myself working well into my 70s, perhaps even up to 80. No, not full time. I want to do what I want to do. And I want to do it not for the money. I want to do it because for the love of what I'm doing. If I get paid, great. Those are some of the exploratory questions that we need to understand from our clients. And then we begin to say, okay, so that's what your goals are. That's what they all look like. And we can get deeper and deeper and deeper into that. You say, well, I like to travel. A lot of people say, well, I want to travel. Well, tell me what traveling means. If I said I want to travel to you, what do you think I mean by that? Where is traveling to? There are many people that say, oh, I can't wait to do and see all of the national parks in America. That's my dream of traveling. Other people will say, I have to go to Australia for 4 weeks. Others will say, I need to go to Europe. I said, okay, tell me about that experience in Europe. What's that going to look like? What are you going to do there? Oh, Mark, there's so many things that I want to see. All right, what are some of those things? Because no one really presses those. We usually just leave it alone. They say, I want to see so many things. How are you going to fly there? You fly in coach? You fly in economy plus? You fly in business class? How are you flying? Where are you going to stay? You staying at a Motel 6? You staying at a youth hostel? Or are you staying at the Shangri-La? What are you going to eat? Are you going to collect coupons? Are you going to look for Groupons? Are you going to live the experience you want? Or are you going to just say, you know what, I'm throwing it all to the wind and going to do whatever I want to do? Those are a lot of questions to ask yourself when you go on vacation. Because you got to know what that budget looks like. What is going to happen? Are you going to pay for every excursion, or are you going to try to figure out a way to do your own excursions, hire your own driver so that you save yourself a little money? Are you prepared to delegate, or are you prepared to do it all yourself? Travel's a big one when it comes to retirement. And notice so far, remember, we're sitting in our initial consultation, and how much have I asked you so far about how much money you have? I have not yet. I have not. And so many people bring all that stuff to that meeting. They said, damn it, Mark, I prepared all this stuff. You need to look at it. Oh, hold on. I will get there. But doesn't it make more sense to make sure that what you have aligns with what you want to do? Because here's what I find a lot. I find people will come to our office, and after we have the conversation, and then I look at what they've accumulated, I will tell them, what the heck are you so scared of? You can do everything you want to do. And in fact, you don't even need to take the level of risk you're taking with your portfolio to achieve those goals and live out the rest of your life. And then there are others, it's just the opposite. You have the resources to do it, but if you don't take more risk with your money, you'll never be able to accomplish those goals. And others, it's about, are you taking money from the right place? Should you pull money from your IRA? Should you pull money from your personal account? Should you take Social Security at a later date? All of those questions. That's what we are going to answer for you through a financial plan. So we start to go through all of the data, all the stuff that you brought. Our meeting, believe it or not, this is not a 5-hour meeting. Our meetings will last anywhere from 60 to 90 minutes, depending upon how active the dialogue is and how much laughing we do. And yeah, there's a lot of laughing. The crying doesn't come until the presentation. You see, the crying happens, or elation in many cases. So after we collect all this data and we charge you a fee to do our financial plan, the fee for this comprehensive work is $2,500. Collect all the data and I put together what's called a net worth statement. So you can see on a piece of paper, here's what it's all worth. Here's what you have. Here's what you're worth. And in many cases, you'll find out that you're a millionaire. You don't feel like a millionaire, but on paper, you're worth more than $1 million. Generally, the people that we see have a net worth somewhere between $700,000 and $2.5 million. That includes your house. No, I'm not just talking about your investment account. We're talking about everything, because if you die, everything goes to the next generation, not just your investment account. So we got to look at it from the big picture here. We'll then send that net worth statement off to you and say, hey, have we captured it all? Does it look right? Have we missed anything? Do you have savings bonds in your underwear drawer? Do you have stock certificates that are still sitting in a safe deposit box? Do you have money that's hidden under your mattress or in a shoebox? Yeah, a lot of people have that, believe it or not. They do. They really, really do. Do you have all that stuff? So, I mean, we want to know where everything is. Once you've given me the okay, then we go through everything that you left with us. We'll go through your pay stubs. We'll go through your bank accounts. We'll go through your investment statements, insurance policies, annuities, retirement accounts, tax returns, homeowners, automobile policy, wills, trusts, everything. We're going to go through it, and we're going to build an analysis. First, what we're going to do is we're going to take a snapshot of where you are today. If you continue to live the lifestyle that you're doing it right now, here's what your outcome could look like. And then we identify points of vulnerability. We build what's called a SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. And we say, here's what you're doing really well. Here are some of your weaknesses. Here are some of the opportunities that you could be participating in right now. And here are some threats that could impact your ability. Now, what's an example of a strength, weakness, opportunity, or threat? A strength could be that you've paid off the mortgage to your house. That's a strength. A weakness might be that you have credit card debt. A weakness might be that you're paying excessive bank fees. An opportunity might be the fact that you've got a lot of money in low-yielding or non-producing investments that could work to your benefit. An opportunity might be the ability to make some changes on the registration of your investment accounts or bank accounts so that you could avoid probate. A threat might be just the same thing, the fact that you might have a beneficiary designation on your IRA that's your mother and you wanted it to be your wife. There can be lots of those things and lots of analysis that follow it. And so what we do is we write our plans. We put it all in writing, and we give you the opportunity to play lots of what-ifs in the office. It's followed by an action plan that says, here's all of the recommendations that we offer to you, and here is how you can implement every single one of them. And because we're a certified financial planner, our recommendations are written for you to implement anywhere you want. You are under no obligation whatsoever to implement through us. Though I will tell you, 90% of clients, 90%+, implement strategies through us. There are certain things they can't do. I don't write wills and trusts. I don't file tax returns. But we do tax planning. And if you choose to implement through us, we can talk about how we do that. We manage money on a fee basis, not on a commission basis. And all future financial planning advice is included as part of your fee. That's the process. Did that help? Was I able to walk you through it? Do you get it? Is that the way the process has worked with other people you've worked with? Or did you ever wonder what the process would be? I wanted to try to provide it to you in a language you could understand. I really wanted to do that so that you're aware of what you're getting involved in when you're working with a firm like ours. If now's the time to get serious about your financial planning, I'd encourage you to give me a call, 978-531-8108. Schedule your free initial consultation at 978-531-8108. When we get back, I got something to share with you. I didn't wrap up my first segment where I talked about the markets and how typical portfolios are doing through four months of this year. I'm going to bring that to you and more. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Ever wonder whether you'll have enough money to retire? Retiring for the Genius is a blueprint to prepare for a comfortable retirement. This easy-to-read guidebook on living your life in retirement is written by certified financial planner Mark Friedman and host of Dollars and Cents, heard here every Sunday morning from 8 o'clock until 9 a.m. You'll find the tools and templates helpful so you can prepare to make smart decisions on how to spend your money in retirement. If you're older than 55 and expect to spend between $4,000 and $10,000 a month in retirement, Retiring for the Genius is a treasure map for achieving your successful retirement. When it comes to retiring, don't be a dummy. Pick up a copy of Retiring for the Genius at Amazon.com.
Pick up your treasure map for retirement. Available now at Amazon.com. Search Mark Friedman, Retiring for the Genius.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. We are in our fourth and final segment of the day. Hope you're enjoying this new May weather. Finally, the trees are budding. Leaves are coming about. I haven't seen any snowflakes in a while, though. This past week, we did have a 45-degree day watching the Red Sox. I mean, God, I do not go to Fenway Park until at least the mid part of May because I do not want to freeze my tuchus off. I can say tuchus, right? That's allowed? Okay, I can say that. You know, I'm checking. I still remember the George Carlin 8 words you can't say on the radio. Is there still just, I'm asking Tony here, is there more than 8 now I think you can say, or maybe more, or I don't know. It's the 8 that I know, so I'll try to avoid those. Anyways, I'm here in studio overlooking the beautiful North Beverly train station where just a few cars have now arrived, and hopefully they're going someplace fun. Hey, my pool's open. It's kind of funny. It's, so we're moving in, I didn't have a pool before, but the house that I'm moving to, we opened the pool. We're moving in a couple weeks. And we said, hey, could we have the pool open before we move in? Because I just want it ready when I get there. And so, yes, we're a little early to opening the pool, but so what? We had a couple 80-degree days this past week, though I'm not living in the house yet. So, but I still could have snuck in, I guess, and took a dip in. But I got to believe that water is still probably about 40 or 50 degrees right now, a little chilly. But, yay, the pool weather is coming. Just think, going outside at night when you get home and the aromas of the air, you can smell the barbecues going again. Oh, I love that. Absolutely love that. Got the barbecues going, baseball games to watch, hang out on the front porch. I'm not going to say you're going to see many people because what happened to the kids outside? Do they even go outside anymore? Where are they? I think they're playing video games or they got their little earbuds in somewhere. But anyways, I promise, yeah, they're on their phone. I don't know what they're doing. Anyways, but in order to keep whatever the lifestyle is that you want, whether it's paying for your kids' video games, whether it's buying the barbecue, whether it's buying a new house, setting up the pool, going to a ball game, whatever it is, you need money. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to manage your money in such a way that the paycheck's going to stop, and you're going to have to try to replace it some other way. Well, one of the things that we talked about earlier in the show was the fact that, you know, we've heard about how volatile the market has been. Up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. So I got this report as of April 30th. It comes from LPL Research and also from Morningstar to try to give me a gauge as to where we stand financially. Because, you know, you go to the local coffee shops, you go to Denny's, you go wherever you want to go, and there's people always complaining about what's going on in the markets, what's going on with our president, what's going on with this policy or that policy or on Facebook or what I heard, or what's bad for you, what's good for you. Drink 6 cups of wine? No, drink only 1 cup of wine. Have 19 cups of coffee? No, coffee's bad for you. Everything's good, everything's bad. And we get in this volatile period of time where everybody's all worked up and the market is just like, market plunges today, market skyrockets today, market plunges today. Well, here we are, folks. I got the real numbers. This is not speculation. This is absolute reality. Everyone always asks me, Mark, how are we doing compared to the market? How are we doing compared to the market? Well, get this. The market is the S&P 500, when that's what people are talking about. The S&P 500 consists of 500 stocks that trade on the exchanges, the 500 largest ones. Now, you oftentimes hear the terms value and growth. You could generally take the S&P 500 and split it in half and say there's 250 large value companies, 250 large growth companies. What's the difference between a large company and a growth company? There's a lot of ways to define it, but here's a simple way to do it. Of all 500 companies, I don't care whether you're Coca-Cola, whether you're Amazon, whether you're Caterpillar, whether you're Bank of America, or all of them fall in the top 500, are all of those businesses in the business to make a profit? The answer is yes. They all are in business to make a profit. And if they're part of the largest 500, those profits are pretty significant, I would think. So the big way to look at what's the difference between a value company and a growth company, and like I said, this is one way to look at it, is what does the company do with their profits? A value company is generally going to take a portion of their profits and return it to shareholders in the form of a dividend. Okay, so generally dividend-paying companies are companies that are solid companies, but they make incremental changes to their business. I mean, how much has Bank of America changed over the years? How different does a Caterpillar tractor look like? How different has the electric companies changed? Duke Energy and companies like that. It's lights. I mean, they're providing energy. So they're going to take part of their profits and send it back to you in the form of a dividend. Growth companies are generally going to take their profits and reinvest it back into the business to stay relevant, to stay pertinent, to stay valuable. It's what Google does, what Amazon does, what Netflix does, what Facebook does. Now, some of these companies, when they get extraordinarily profitable, they will also send a little bit of a dividend, but the bulk of their growth is on the growth side. So let's go back to this. The S&P 500 is 500 stocks consisting of 250 value companies, 250 growth companies, all of the biggest in nature. And when people say, how did I do compared to the market? This is the number they're looking for. They want to know, how has the market done over the past 4 months? Well, I'll give you about 5 seconds to think about that. What do you think the market has done over the past 4 months? Think about all the news that we've heard on the radio, the messages that we get, the volatility, all of the sound bites that come out. Are you ready for the 4 month, January 1st to April 30, closing of April 30th? The S&P 500 is down. Yes, you're right. It is down 0.38%. Not 3.8%, 0.38%. Basically flat. Now, here's something that's rather fascinating. For those of you that said, I don't want to be in the stock market, I can't take that risk, I should be in bonds. Well, if you put all of your money into bonds, how'd you do January to April? Well, at least bonds pay interest. They pay dividends. They pay interest, right? So how has the United States aggregate bond index done year to date, January 1st through April 30th, compared to the S&P 500, which is down 0.38%? Here's how you did in bonds, just because you got to love that. Bonds is down, down. Bonds are down. They're losing money. Down negative 2.9%. 2.19%. Bonds are down negative 2.19%. How can that be, Mark? Bonds don't lose money. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. So wait a second. So you're telling me in all of this fluctuation, all this volatility, all this stuff that I'm hearing about in the news, had I invested in the stock market, the S&P 500, versus investing, putting all my money in bonds from January to April, I'd actually be doing better in the stock market? If you compare it to those two indexes, the answer is absolutely yes. Well, what about that 1% I pay you? Well, the 1% would apply on either side, so it really doesn't matter. But here's what's rather fascinating. All that volatility, all that ups and downs. When we're building a portfolio for our clients, and when most financial planners are building a portfolio for clients, they want to do something that's called asset allocation. You've heard that term. We buy large cap. We buy mid cap. We buy small cap. We buy growth. We buy value. We buy a little bit of international. We buy stuff on the bond side as well. Short-term bonds, mid-term bonds, high-quality bonds, low-quality bonds. We do a nice mix. Maybe there's a dozen. Maybe there's 15 investments in your portfolio. So here's something that you might find fascinating. So I'm not talking about my portfolio. I'm talking about what Morningstar classifies as the category average for a growth with income portfolio. That means 60% of your money is within a mix of stock-based investments. 40% of your money is in a mix of bond-based investments. Not just the S&P 500, not just the U.S. aggregate index, but a collection of leaders in each of these categories. So with it up with 60% in stocks, 40% in bonds, how do you think you're doing? How do you think you're doing? Because I will tell you, probably 65 to 70% of my clients' portfolios are designed around what's called a growth with income model. No, they're not. They don't have the same portfolios. In fact, every person has a different portfolio in my office, but it's generally 60 to 65% stocks, 30 to 35% bonds, 40 to 35% in bonds. So this was kind of interesting. So I told you that the S&P 500, 100% of your money in the S&P 500, January 1st to April 30th, S&P 500, you're down 0.38%. 100% of your money in the bond index, January 1st to April 30th, you're down 2.19%. However, if you have your money invested 60% in stock and a collection of stock indexes, 40% in a collection of bond investments, here's your return, January 1st to April 30th. What do you think it's going to be? Down 0.5%. Down 0.5%. So that's kind of interesting. With as volatile as it sounds like the stock market has been, with all the news reports that we hear out there, all the fact, oh, this market is just terrible. It's just all over the place. And you're seeing that the market is, I just told you, the S&P 500 is, remember, I said it was down down, negative 0.38%. And bonds were down negative 2.19%. If you were 60-40, you're down 0.5. How's that feel? Hold on, let's move things out a little bit. Let's say, okay, on a one-year rolling basis, if you had 100% of your money in the S&P 500, 100% of your money in the S&P 500, you're up 13.27%. 1 year, April to April. That's pretty good. 100% of your money in the stock market, though, and remember the ride you just went on over the year. It's been up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, right? 100% of your money in the bond market, 100% of your bond market on a one-year basis. You know what you're doing? You are, hold on, here's my number, ready? It is down 0.32%. Bonds have not done well. You know why? Because interest rates have gone up this year. Have you noticed what it costs for a new mortgage these days? It's not 2.75 or 3.25 anymore. You're at 4.5 and 4.75 for a 30-year mortgage these days. Bonds have gone up. But what happens? What happens if you were invested in a typical 60-40 portfolio? Not mine, but what's called the Morningstar Allocation Category Average for a growth with income portfolio. On a one-year basis, you are up 8.7%. How's that feel? 8.7 with only 60% of your money being exposed to the stock market? That is pretty good. You want to take 4% of your money out to pay an income, you know, to draw an income from it? You can do that. And you even got some growth. Now, on a five-year basis, what's a typical growth with income portfolio doing? 6.6%. 6.6%. Now, what's the S&P 500 done over the past, well, I don't even have the three, hold on, do I have the five-year number? No, I got on a three-year number. S&P 500 number over the past 3 years, 10.54%. And I don't have the S&P number, I'm sorry, for 5 years. But think about that, folks. You don't need to take extreme risks. And more people are saying, I got to buy Tesla. Got to buy Tesla. Got to buy Dropbox. Got to buy these newfangled new companies that are coming out. I got to buy the next Netflix. Got to buy the next Amazon. Don't do it. Don't try to buy individual stocks. It's a loser's game. Let the professional money managers buy a portfolio, work with a financial advisor who will find the best portfolio managers to build a collection of mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, index funds in your portfolio that align with your overall goal and objective. Because at the end of the day, the thing that's most important is that you have enough money to support your life forever. Because I don't know about you, but I don't know when I'm going to die. Do you know? We don't know when we're going to die, so I'd like to plan on having enough to cover it until I get there, and then some. That would be nice, too, to pass it on to the kids, but I want to be sure I cover it for myself. You got to be a participant, but you have to know how much you need to participate in the game to make sure that you balance your risk with the return that you need, and we, each and every week, will continue to provide you with this same financial advice in a language you can understand each and every Sunday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. One final reminder before I get out of here. We put together a free newsletter. It is in its 500th plus edition. I find it amazingly difficult to believe we've been doing this for more than 500 issues since March of 2009. It's called Planning Pointers. If you want my newsletter, it is free. All you need to do is go to my website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, Financial.com. Go to the bottom of the website, any page on the website. Say, I would like to sign up for Mark's newsletter. You put in your email address. Let us know how you've heard about our show, about the newsletter, about us, whatever it is. If you want to ask me a question, go for it. If you want to schedule a free initial consultation, love to meet with you. And it's that simple, folks. 7,000 issues go out each and every Friday. Let's add you to the list. I got to get out of here. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC.
Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.